The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Hey, very pleasant. Good afternoon, and thanks for making time for us over these next couple of hours. We appreciate it. We will get to your phone calls. A lot of important guests just around the corner. Let's start with a couple of things you may not have seen since we last saw you. And the rings have arrived. Steaks for the spring game winners. That's the tradition. Beans for the losers. And the rings for everyone. And have you had a chance? I mean, just remember your high school ring. I mean, you saved up and it was expensive. And maybe you gave it to your girlfriend. Take a look at this if you're watching on TV. Got a marquee stone. Got 135 stones on the top. They represent the total points scored in the SEC in championship games. Two round stones, championships, two CFPs for the seniors, and 52 stones in the borders. Would somebody tell me what this cost? I guess it doesn't matter when you're Alabama, does it? Anyway, a lot of bling for the Tide. And, of course, it's crimson. That's a good-looking ring. Meanwhile, the Gators, they did not win any rings. But the book on Florida and Dan Mullen, Gators are winning consistently, but aren't yet champions. And we are going to talk with the author of that article in 2 hours. So mark it down. Clemson writer. Tigers far better than UGA at this point. Who wrote that? Do we know? Do we care? Jeff Benedict wrote that from wherever he works. And I don't really want to take any shots at Jeff Benedict. I may be related, so I'll wait till check out the lineage at the next family reunion. How about Joe Namath? Has he ever said anything crazy? We're not talking about Susie Colbert. We're talking about what he said this week on Mac Jones, Broadway Joe. And you'll see him in just a minute on a commercial, I promise you. He said, I see a possibility. I don't see anybody in Tom Brady. He's one of a kind, right? But I do see Jones comparable to Brady when he was coming out, maybe even ahead of Brady. Hey, Joe, Earth to Joe. Brady was, what, a seventh-round draft choice? Mac could be the third player in the draft. Mac was a Heisman five. I don't really think this is a great comparison. I think this is a shot. I mean, everybody's acting like, hey, Joe said something. Let me put it in a tweet that Joe's comparing him to Tom Brady. That's ridiculous. Joe Namath, you just criticized Mac Brady. Tom Brady was garbage coming out of college. He wasn't that great of a prospect. Joe, you owe Mac Jones an apology. Okay, let's move on to happier things. And it is April 20th. That day means a lot of different things to a lot of different people, especially for you out west folks. But if you're in Gainesville, Florida tonight, that means light 76 candles for one Stephen Orr Spurrier. Happy birthday, HBC. You don't look a day over 50. Easy for me to say. So what are we going to do today? Heather Dinich, she'll join us in a couple of minutes, talking about the CFP. And Philip Stutz, one of our favorite people, he's usually here to talk NIL, and there is some news on that, especially around the South. He's also got a book out, and we'll talk about that. G. Allen Taylor. In my next life, I am going to have a first initial. Maybe that's why my writing career never got off the ground. I just had a normal-sounding name. F. Paul Feinbaum. We'll come up with it later. And Bill Conley, always good for some laughs. I didn't mean that critically. We'll quit. Does anybody know what 420 means? Just for fun? Anyway, we'll talk about that later. 855-242-7285. That is the number. And let's start with some phone calls before Heather joins us. And who better to start with than Zach in Columbus, Ohio? Hello, Zach. Good afternoon.
What's up, Paul? How are you doing?
What's going on in your life?
Oh, nothing. I actually just had my first baseball commentary, I guess you could say. It was the other day. It was last week on Thursday.
Well, tell us how it went.
It was a lot harder than I thought it was. Stuttered a couple times, but, you know, I'm doing well. It was fun. I had a good time.
What was the toughest thing to do?
I think the toughest part was to probably, that's a hard question. I would say to get every single, like, hit right, like he hit it out to left field or whatever.
Well, Zach, allow me to give you a tip, even though I've never done play-by-play.
Okay.
Don't get hung up on making sure you are not doing a jigsaw puzzle here. For those who don't know, Zach is an aspiring broadcaster, and we've been talking via the show for the last couple of weeks. Don't get hung up on that stuff. The audience doesn't know any better, okay?
Okay.
So, the old adage is never let them see you sweat, meaning this. If you make a mistake, keep going. Don't spend – I've done that before. I was on SportsCenter a couple of years ago, and it was a very difficult name, and I tried to get it out, and it didn't come out correctly. I tried again, and then I tried again, and then I just like threw up my hands, and all I had to do was just mumble the name and move on, and there's not one person in the audience who would have known the difference.
All right, I'll work on that. But I did, before I get off the phone, I did want to talk about this Alabama spring football game real quick.
Sure.
I think Alabama is the most complete team in college football. Bryce Hall looked amazing. I mean, not Bryce Hall. Bryce Young looked amazing. Ajay Hall looked amazing. Trayshawn, what's his last name? Holden, he looked amazing. I mean, and even the kickers looked amazing. Even that walk-on kicker, he was hitting it 45 yards. I mean, that whole team is just – I'm an Ohio State fan, obviously, but, I mean, I think they're probably going to win the national championship again. It's early, but they looked amazing.
Well, Zach, great to hear from you. Best of luck. You stay with it, and we will talk again very soon. Matt is up next. What do you got, Matt?
How you doing, Mr. Paul Feinbaum? I disagree with Zach. Alabama is not going to win the national championship again. It's going to be my team. This is our year, our time, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. And I got an interesting question I've been wanting to ask you, Paul.
Sure.
What's your opinion on this, Paul? Why this is a three-way tie in the SEC West between LSU, A&M, and Alabama? Who goes to the SEC title game, Paul?
Well, that's like a good thing. Yeah, Matt, there is a tiebreaker set up, and it's a little bit early to get too deep into it. The first tiebreaker is obviously this. It's between the two.
Okay.
It's between the schools. So head to head. And it's very likely that, you know, let's say A&M beats Alabama. Alabama beats LSU. LSU beats A&M. That's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it? And then in a three-way tie, after head to head, which will never cure or never solve the head-to-head. Then there's another two or three, and I would have to get that out for you. Matt, I see no reason to bring it out right now because it is April 20th, and the SEC championship game isn't until, like, December 5th. But I will look it up for you. I will look it up for you and be prepared the next time you call.
Okay, I got one more question for you, my friend. Are you going to be at College Station for the A&M Alabama game? Because I'm going to try to be there, and I want to meet you, Paul.
Well, I hope that we are able to meet. Right now, I have no earthly idea what the fall looks like. So I'll see if we can, once we get a little closer to that, then I will let you know when and where I will be. And if we're in the same time zone, we will definitely meet. Matt, you take care of yourself. Thank you very, very much. Chris is up next. Hey, Chris, go right ahead.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
It's all good. Just driving to work and had to call in and get my take on about three things. But your last caller, let's be honest, when it comes to ACC, Bama is the golden standard. You might as well just accept it. Matter of fact, we might as well just hand the trophy already. So kill that pipe dream right there. When it comes to Bama's spring game, I don't necessarily think they're that good a team. I'm a Bama fan, and I'll just have to give them time on to develop some chemistry. And honestly, when whoever went fast to win the quarterback position, I won't even bet my money on that. Bryce Young is the immediate go-to, because I mean, who knows? Paul Tyson could probably win the starting position overall. But the last thing I want to actually ask Paul is, people have always wondered what's going to take down Bama itself, and since it hasn't been NCAA infractions, because they never really get any. My take would probably be if they honestly decide to pay players, because most times not if they're saving recruits outside of state. What if outside of state players decide to say, hey, might as well stay in a regular location, because I mean, they're basically paying me, and I can help take care of my family off the rip. So what would be the point of honestly going anywhere? Because it's good.
Chris, it's a good question. Thank you for calling, and I'm a little bit late on this segment, so I'll try to get to the answer in a few minutes. We thank you for calling, though. You take care of yourself. Heather Dinich, right around the corner, and you know what that means. The college football season is right.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. College football playoff newcomers. Which team can make its debut in the top four? I was about to say there's nobody better. There is no one else to speak to than Heather Dinich in terms of covering the CFP. And Heather, nice enough to join us right now. Heather, this is the calm before the storm, but you've done some deep diving here into trying to come up with some way to break up the party. It seems like, have you ever heard this before? The same four or five are at the CFP every year. I know you've never heard that one.
Never, Paul. Never. No redundancy whatsoever. Nobody's falling asleep with Alabama and Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma fatigue. But look, here's the thing that college football fans and teams and coaches have to remember. If there is a team with a legitimate shot to win its conference championship, it starts there. That's a playoff hopeful team, even if it's a long shot or a dark horse like Iowa State. But when you're a team like Iowa State that has been building a program for a long time under Matt Campbell, and you've got what could be a Heisman hopeful quarterback, and you might have another Heisman hopeful in Breece Hall, your running back, Brock Purdy at quarterback, and you're putting this together, and you have a non-conference opponent in Iowa. There are key pieces to the playoff puzzle that can impress the selection committee. The hard part, as you know, Paul, is winning all of the games, right? But there are certainly teams like Iowa State, North Carolina, that have that potential, even though fans aren't used to hearing their names. And it's because they have a great shot to get to that conference championship game. And that's where you knock off one of the big boys. And I guarantee you're in that conversation regardless of the name on the back of the jersey.
So you've alluded to a couple of schools. You mentioned Iowa State, and you know they were nearly in it last year. Carolina had its opportunities. So let's identify those not so cool kids who want to move over to the cool kid table and are banging on the door. So expand on that list if you could.
Sure. Well, one of them, obviously, your audience knows is Texas A&M, and that's because the Aggies were so close last year. They thought they should have been in it last year. But, you know, it's going to be tricky for them, and obviously the game all of your audience is talking about already is Alabama. I heard them before I joined the show, and it's not just the biggest one in the SEC. It might be the biggest playoff impact game nationally, because whoever wins that game obviously takes a lead in the West. But, you know, Jimbo Fisher, I think, said it best when he said that every year is a new team, right? And they have to rebuild their entire offensive line, new quarterback. I think they've recruited outstanding on defense, 20 of 22 from the two deep coming back defensively. So I think that they've got a lot of talent there. But as everyone knows, you've got to beat the best to be the best, and that's Alabama. And that game is going to be huge for them to really get a shot, because it's so much harder. The burden of proof in that selection committee meeting room is so much higher if you don't win your conference championship or play for your division, but it's obviously not impossible. It's been done before.
Heather, so we've talked about one game, and there are many. I want to ask you about the most interesting at the beginning of the year, because I know as we get closer to that game in Charlotte, it will draw mountains of conversation. And I don't want to answer my own question, but I have some doubt about whether it really will decide very much. I'm going to get out of the way and let you talk about Clemson and Georgia.
Well, that's one of those games where you don't know anything right off the bat, but whoever wins that game obviously has a leg up in that selection committee meeting room. And look, there are doubts surrounding the rest of the ACC, right? North Carolina has a shot because the Coastal Division is so mediocre. That's a chance for Mack Brown to really assert the program as a leader in a division where nobody seems to be able to climb on top and stay there. Now, that being said, is it really Clemson and everybody else? Clemson has some weaknesses. So, you know, I think that when you look at that program and that team, that's a chance for them to erase any doubts down the stretch come November. And the same can be said for Kirby Smart and Georgia. Those are the kind of non-conference games that resonate throughout the entire year. You know, who needs it more? I would argue that Clemson might need it more.
That is interesting. I'm glad you said that, because Georgia, assuming it gets through the SEC games, has the opportunity at the end of the year, where, not to get too deep into conversation that will be taking place in November and early December, but if Clemson loses that game, I mean, you can't say they're guaranteed of anything based on what you just got through saying. I always hate to answer your questions, but I always like to try to guess what the answer will be too.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, as soon as you lose a game, you're matched up in that selection committee meeting room with every other one-loss team, right? So then the committee looks down and says, who's better on tape? Who's better on paper, right? And Clemson has to win that. I'm telling you, Oklahoma is going to be a really good team this year. So there's no guarantee, no matter what your previous playoff history might be. Now, if Clemson is as good as it has been in the past and it steamrolls everybody else and wins the ACC championship and it's only losses to Georgia, yeah, they're probably going to get in the top four, right? Because they're that good and they deserve it. But I'm just saying that when you lay it out, and especially it's early, you have no idea, and that puts the burden on whatever team lost all the way down through the rest of the season not to lose again.
Heather, I know this is the season of meetings, some virtual, some in person, the CFP, bowls, NCAA count, all kinds of people are starting to converge as we get out of COVID into the spring. I know this is just a pedestrian question that I ask you every spring. Anything new, anything on the horizon, or is it status quo for the CFP?
Status quo as of right this second, but your timing is impeccable as always, Paul. They're meeting tomorrow and Thursday virtually. I'm not expecting anything earth-shattering to come out of it, but I'll probably have a better answer to that question on Thursday evening or Friday morning of this week because they are meeting virtually. If they do meet in person, I expect it will be late spring, early summer, and I do expect them to continue to talk about college football playoff expansion. I don't think that it's going to happen anytime soon, but I do think that in talking to the commissioners, some of them have a sense that it's inevitable.
And before you go, if you were watching the ESPN starting around this point last year up until the end of the year, you would often find Heather and I joined by distance on the morning shows talking about COVID and whether there would be a season, what it would look like, and finally when we had a season, would we get through it? So I ask you this question, Heather, because I know you're plugged in everywhere from the CFP to programs across the country. It seems like we're moving toward normalcy. Now, it could be that I'm located in the South and I'm seeing baseball games with 13,000 people. And you're in a little more lockdown part of the world, not totally, but maybe a little bit more. What are you hearing from coast to coast?
In terms of how normal this fall might look?
Right.
So actually, I had a really great conversation recently with Dr. Jim Borchers at Ohio State about that and just what the Big Ten is looking at and things like that. And, you know, he's very optimistic. Coaches I've talked to are extremely optimistic, athletic directors as well, that it will look a lot more normal, more fans in the stands, at what capacity. Most of them don't really know. But Dr. Borchers was interesting because it all goes back to the vaccines, right? And there are some universities like Rutgers, for example, that have talked about requiring students to be vaccinated before they're back on campus. He told me Ohio State is not going to do that. But what they're going to look at is what percentage of people are vaccinated at some point. And when you get to a certain point, I think the NFL and Major League Baseball have talked about this, if it's an 80% vaccination rate, then do you start to loosen some of the restrictions? But also, what does that look like for fans in the stands and game day tradition? So there's still a lot of questions, but I can certainly tell you from everyone I've talked to that optimism is the word heading into the fall.
Great to hear. Been a while since we've heard that. Heather, thanks for dropping by. Always good to see you. Heather Denich joining us with the absolute latest, and we may hear from her again later in this week if something breaks from the CFP virtual meetings. We will take a break here and get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome all of you back. We will get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And then a number of guests will start making their way in here on what's looking like a rather busy afternoon. Let's check in with some more calls and talk to Tom up next. Hello, Tom. Good afternoon.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
I watch the show every day. I really like the show.
Thank you very much. We all appreciate that.
Did you watch the Arkansas spring game?
I saw a couple of minutes of it today when it was on right before us.
Did Jerry Jones play for Arkansas?
I can't tell you. I saw enough of it to answer that question, but I'll see if I can get you an answer. How about that?
No, Jerry Jones, did he play for Arkansas in college?
I can answer that. He played. Not only did he play, he played on the what year was it? The 64
championship team.
64, yeah, 64 national championship team. He sure did. And the only reason I know that is I happened to be doing a show from Fayetteville the day they were playing Arkansas, Alabama, and they were being honored, and we had him on our show.
Did Jimmy Jackson also play for Arkansas?
Yeah, he played on the same team.
Oh, okay. Didn't Jimmy Johnson become a pro coach?
Well, Jimmy Johnson, yes. He left the Miami Hurricanes to become the head coach at the Dallas Cowboys, working for guess who? Jerry Jones.
Oh, okay. Okay. I really like your show, and I watch it every day, and I think you're a really smart guy.
Well, Tom, thank you. You take care of yourself, and let's talk again soon. Bruce is up next. Hey, Bruce, thanks. Good afternoon. Let me try Johnny. Hello, Johnny. Johnny, you there? Man, I feel like I'm at the blackjack table in Biloxi right now. I'm coming up zero. Jim is up next. Hey, Jim, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
With so many high-profile players going to the draft this past year, what is your thought on a defensive player making a top-five run at the Heisman this year? And the main person I'm talking about, finally an Oregon topic for you, would be Thibodeau, who is probably nobody gets to see. And if you have a chance to see him play in that Pac-12 championship game against USC, he wrecked that team all by himself.
Jim, one thing I don't do on this show is pander, and I'm not going to pander. I think the odds of that are infinitesimal, and it's not because he isn't a good player, but to win the Heisman, first of all, you've heard me say this, you have to be on a high-profile team, and not always. Johnny Manziel was the exception. Lamar Jackson was the exception. RG3. It helps if you're playing for a contender because so much attention is being focused. And then for a defensive player, you better be unbelievable and you better have the media carrying your water. And what I mean by that is the last time a defensive player won, he should not have won. The media carried his water, including ESPN. I wasn't there at the time, so I'm not speaking ill of my own brethren. I thought it was outrageous what happened. And these things happen. They happen once every 20 or 30 years.
Right.
Or
I just
50
did a
years.
Top five run at it. And if we can go into the horseshoe week two.
Well, yeah.
And if we can play well, that might help.
Of course. That's the key. Now, Jim, you've just given the preamble to it. If he can dominate that game and win, and I think Ohio State's beatable, then he puts himself on an early stage, and then people start paying attention. But I will tell you, the Heisman is not won in September or October. It is won in November.
Absolutely, Paul. I agree with you. Thank you, brother. Have a great day.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. And sometimes it's even won the first week of December. But again, I know everyone has their favorite, and that's great. But if you had told me, assuming that we knew we have a college football season on April 20th last year, that the Heisman, that two of the five Heisman finalists would be Devontae Smith and Mac Jones, I would have laughed you off the show. You knew Trevor was going to be there. You knew that Najee Harris had a good chance of being there. Kyle Trask, you can argue yay or nay, but if somebody had Devontae and Mac, please show up and collect your lottery ticket, okay? Let's get back to the calls, and Will is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
I was going to call and get your thoughts on another transfer, a quarterback transfer in the Tennessee, the Milton kid. What's your thoughts on him and just the overall group of quarterbacks that they've actually got this year?
I thought it was very positive news, Will, and I'm not suggesting that he's a Heisman candidate, but but he's a good player, has good credentials, and he has experience too. And I think Josh Heupel can develop him into a better quarterback than what Jim Harbaugh has done. So I think he will compete, and I think he'll be a contender.
Right. Still no word out yet, I don't believe, on Henry Toa Toa on where he may be transferring.
If I had to guess, it would be Alabama or Ohio State.
All right. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the afternoon. And
thank you.
Your crew, hang in there.
You bet. And the thing at Alabama, I can't speak for Ohio State, is, do you want him? Do you want to bring somebody in that when you've already got a good room in that position? I mean, it's always a tough call. You hate to turn down a guy that's very likely almost automatically going to be a starter, and you also hate to bring someone into the room that may not get along. And I'm giving you a hypothesis here. I don't know. I don't know the young man. I'm sure he's fine, but he's looking for a good place to go to finish his career. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We are off and running here on a busy, busy Tuesday afternoon. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. Great to have you with us. 855-242-7285 is the number. And Johnny is up next. Hey, Johnny.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
I am doing great.
Enjoy your show. I got a chuckle out of the first thing I heard when I tuned in to you today. We all say things sometimes that we may disagree with. You know, all of us say that. You say that. I say that. But for you to go on national TV and say Joe Willie Namath owes anybody an apology, it blew me away, Paul. I'm like, this is Joe Willie Namath. That's his opinion about Mac Jones. And Joe, if you're listening, this is Johnny from the state of Georgia. I'm not an Alabama fan, but Joe Willie Namath's got a right, just like anybody else, to give you his opinion. He don't owe anybody an apology.
Well, Johnny, thank you. And for those who didn't really understand the humor in what I was saying, and obviously Johnny would be the captain of that fan club, I was really being sarcastic. Because people took what Joe said as a compliment to Mac Jones, that he was being compared to Tom Brady. I was joking in the sense that it really wasn't a compliment. And I believe this very strongly. Mac Jones is a much better player coming out of college than Tom Brady was coming out of the University of Michigan. And that's what Joe was comparing him to, not Tom Brady today versus he was comparing him to Tom Brady as he prepared for the draft. So sometimes humor is lost in the translation, even in West Georgia. But thank you for the call. Let's get back to the calls right now. And Patrick is out in Texas. Hello, Patrick. Welcome to our show.
How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Thanks.
I'm a big fan of yours. Always watch. Definitely Louisiana. I'm an LSU fan.
Wonderful.
I got LSU this year running for national champ. Two things, sir. LSU running for the national championship. You are excellent rapport. The rise of the Chinese Spanish. Devious. LSU Chinese.
Hey, you know Patrick, we had Brooks Cabine on yesterday who did a breakdown of the new offensive coordinator, not only at LSU in the spring game, but what he did last year with the Panthers. It was fascinating. I don't know how an LSU fan could not have listened to that and been fired up about this year.
He should be fired up, sir. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm the first person to tell you the Baylor women's coach is going to be the new LSU coach.
Oh, the Baylor coach? Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm saying that we hope that happens.
Well, she's great.
She was a coach for Louisiana Tech, you know.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I can see that take LSU place, the LSU women's coach place.
Well, if she does take the job, they're getting one of the greats of all time. Hey, thank you for the call. You take care of yourself, Patrick. And let us continue. Bruce is down in South Carolina. Hello, Bruce.
Hello, sir.
Hi.
A small question. First, do you think Georgia will be better at first this coming year than they were at the end of this last season?
I mean, I think so overall because, they were playing really well. I say they were playing well. They really weren't playing that great at times. I didn't like what I saw from Georgia in the bowl game. And I'm trying to remember what else they did at the end of the season. I think this Georgia team that we see against Clemson will definitely be better than the one we saw last year. The defense and the defensive line particularly.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, how about Steve in Daphne, Alabama? Hey, Steve, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Steve, I am doing as well as I could possibly be.
Great. Hey, look, I watched the Alabama A-Day game, and I don't feel real good about Alabama this year. Have you talked to Legend lately?
I have not. What should I ask Legend if I'm able to track him down?
Well, I'd just like to hear his opinion on the Tide and the A-Day game and help me feel all warm and fuzzy.
Well, Steve, I don't want to be a grief counselor here, but I do want to walk you off the edge here based on what you saw Saturday, because what you saw Saturday is not exactly what you're going to see in September.
Okay.
And,
right.
And here's why.
Well,
here's why. You had over 20 players out for COVID. You had 20 players out of the game, at least 20 who didn't suit up, especially a number of defensive players who are going to be critically important players this year. And you also did not have any imagination in the offensive schemes or in the defensive schemes, because Nick Saban wants to entertain the fans, but he also does not want to give anything away to the opponents. So he and every other coach keeps it as vanilla as possible in the spring game. And you also have a lot of young players who are just there. They'll be a lot better by the time we get to the Miami game. So I would not be overly concerned. I know that's easy for me to say, and I don't want anyone not to watch the game and watch it over again and enjoy seeing football, because that's what we all live for in many respects. But I also want to warn people, don't make too many serious judgment based on what you saw in a scrimmage that was controlled and you couldn't even tackle the quarterback. Let's take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls and more guests right after this.